As we heard earlier in the program, the Department of Health seed-to-sale tracking software is supposed to be ready next week, and that would allow 8 dispensaries in Hawaii that have been awarded the licenses to finally plant their crops. And that's good news for those who depend on medical marijuana, but one activist group wants to be sure that other issues surrounding marijuana aren't forgotten as well. The Drug Policy Forum of Hawaii will again support decriminalization in bills that look a lot like the ones we've seen over the last couple of years, the ones that failed in the end. Carl Berquist is the forum's executive director. He joins us now in our studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Bethana. Thank you for having me.
I want to talk to you a little bit about first some of the news that we got today, that milestone with the Department of Health saying that their tracking mechanism, the software that will track from seed to sale, which has been required, is pretty much ready to go, they hope, and that they'll be able to connect to that next week. You're part of the Legislative Oversight Working Group that was created last year. Did you know that this was coming?
Well, we've had 3 meetings so far, Bethann, and at each meeting the Department of Health has updated the group on this, and they haven't given a firm date until today, as far as I know. They told us it was in the pipeline, the contract was going to be signed, and it was imminent. So we're really gratified to hear there is now a date certain next week. It couldn't be a day too early. We get requests on a weekly basis from new patients who are not able to grow their own medicine or can't find a caregiver. In other words, patients who would need a dispensary to get their medicine. And they're asking us, oh, so where do we get it? We heard about these dispensaries. So we keep having to tell them, unfortunately, they are not open yet. So now we have a little more certainty. And I heard Chad Blair talk about some of the other small roadblocks that could kind of crop up after
the testing,
the testing and some of the linking of other databases. We're not terribly concerned about those. I think the laboratories are ready to go. They've actually kind of delayed their opening in order to save money because they were waiting for this seed-to-sale tracking to get up and going.
But on the issue of money, we also were talking about a moment ago that for these 8 dispensaries, because of these delays, they are, in their minds, losing money and or at least not recouping some of their initial investments. Does that mean that we're going to see potential higher prices to the end user?
Possibly. And we understand those concerns. We pushed hard for a date of July 15th of last year for them to open. And while we did not expect that date, we did expect at some point in the calendar year of 2016 for the dispensaries to open for that reason, mainly for the patient's sake. But obviously, the people have to produce something for the patients, and that costs money. And unlike the laboratories, the licensees, they can't hold off. They have to rent sites. They have to get personnel. So they have to be kind of ready to go when DOH gives the green light. So they are losing money. So we're concerned that that will lead to higher prices. There are also bills in the current legislature that allude to taxation of the medicine once it is produced. So, you know, we're going to have to try to find a balance there in terms of the taxation and these kind of new costs because of the delay to make sure the medicine is not overpriced.
The issue of taxation was always one of the sort of selling points of this, but usually in the context of a legalization conversation, not one for those who are getting medication.
Correct. And I think when the dispensary system was created, there were a lot of different tax rates bandied about at the legislature. Some were very high, and obviously that would be really detrimental to the patients. So we did manage just to get the general excise tax and the GET for the medicine. But now we're seeing some new proposals when it comes to taxing. And if that's going to be impacting the price of the medicine, we'll probably be quite concerned about that. But in terms of the legalization, that's a wholly different thing. States that have legalized cannabis and that have medical cannabis have different taxation rates for those.
Let's talk a little bit about an issue that is certainly on the forefront of your legislative agenda, decriminalization of cannabis possession. We've talked so much about medical marijuana, mm-hmm. and yet for those who are arrested for having, fairly small amount, that's something that can stay with them for a very, very long time. It can prevent them from getting jobs. It can prevent them from getting housing. And yet there are lots of people who are also arrested for alcohol abuse. and don't have those same consequences, which has been part of your argument as to why we ought to look at decriminalization. What explicitly do you want to see happen with decriminalizing cannabis?
Well, I think it's long overdue that Hawaii joins the majority of states that have either decriminalized cannabis or now legalized it. And the reasons vary from state to state. Some states would actually throw people in jail for the possession. We don't do that anymore. But you do get arrested, about 800 adults per year, 600 juveniles on average are arrested. This takes resources from law enforcement to do the arrest, the booking process. There's a pretrial process that some of them wind up in OCCC. Many can't make bail, so they may not be convicted and stay in prison for cannabis possession, even though there is that possibility theoretically. But there's a whole burden on the judicial system and those individuals on that end. But then later, with a conviction on their record, all this whole host of collateral sanctions go into effect. And there are hundreds and hundreds of them that are listed. And they range from federal student loans to public housing to all manner of jobs. And this stays on your record forever. So it's very problematic for these individuals whose lives are ruined. I'm a law student currently, and I just filled out my federal student loan application. The last question when I submit that is, have you ever been convicted of any illicit substance offenses? It's pretty clear when you get to that page that you don't want to lie about that. So I can just imagine the number of especially the young people who are impacted. And I think it's really way past the time for Hawaii to join states like Mississippi and California.
And what about the paraphernalia, too? Because that's another issue. It's not just having the marijuana, but
correct.
When you've got other stuff, that can also get you in big trouble.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest problem about the war on drugs in general is there's a whole panoply of different offenses that a law enforcement can use to criminalize people. Now, cannabis possession is a petty misdemeanor in Hawaii, but it still has those consequences I just mentioned. Drug paraphernalia possession, however, is a Class C felony in Hawaii that can carry up to a 5-year prison term and a $10,000 fine. So even stronger consequences for the individual caught with some kind of paraphernalia. Now, that applies to people who have paraphernalia. I mean, it's a very long list. It could be anything from a baggie to a needle to a pipe to anything that is a scale. Anything that is connected to drug use. And I think prosecutors argue they need that as a kind of an additional thing to prosecute people for if they can't find something else to get someone for. So it's other states have also decriminalized that type of offense. And I think, you know, we need to stop criminalizing the individuals who use drugs. And if they need treatment, we need to get them to treatment.
Which goes back to the whole idea that we've been talking about for a while concerning harm reduction. But do you have some tangible dollar figures that this would save the judicial system to have to be able to augment your argument?
So in terms of the cannabis possession, we're hoping that the Legislative Reference Bureau has conducted a study pursuant to resolution last year that will put out some dollar numbers in terms of what savings for the judicial system and administrative system could come into effect. In terms of something like the drug paraphernalia law, you know, you're winding up incarcerating people for years on these types of offenses. And as local papers have reported, this costs up to $10,000 to $20,000 per year per prisoner. So we're talking about potentially millions of dollars of savings there.
All right. Well, we're going to wait to see what the other study shows, too. But thank you so much for joining us. And we'll be talking to you as session continues.
Thank you, Bethan.
Carl Berquist is the executive director of the Drug Policy Forum of Hawaii. He focuses on ending the criminalization of drug users, improving the medical marijuana dispensary and registry programs, and combating the opioid epidemic. He's also, as he mentioned, pursuing a JD at the UH Richardson School of Law evening program.